If I were to ask the question this morning, who believes in God? Well, I believe every one of us would say, I do, without hesitation. But suppose I ask the question, do we believe God? Now, all I did was remove the word in, but it does make a difference, as hopefully we will realize by asking ourselves this question, do I, Bob Hawkins, really believe God? And you put your name in that question as well. And we'll begin our study in just a moment. Hello, I'm Bob Hawkins, and for the Morgan Street Church of Christ, we welcome you this morning to Preparing for Eternity. What more important thing could we be doing? So think about the initials PFE every day to remind ourselves what we need to be doing each wonderful day that God has allowed us to live on this earth. Now, we want to take this opportunity to invite everyone to join in with us here at 540 East Morgan Street here in Martinsville. As yes, sir, we study God's precious word in our Bible classes, and as we assemble together to worship God, we're striving to do so in spirit and in truth. That would be having a proper attitude, but also following the pattern in the New Testament that God has given us, and that's in accordance to John 4:24. Now, I can assure you, you will receive a wonderful welcome, as we love having visitors here at the Morgan Street Church of Christ. And something to mention, if you are interested in a Bible study, please let us know. We'll set it up at your convenience. We offer Bible correspondence courses as well. Let us know if you would like to start one of those. And also, if you have Bible questions or comments, positive or negative, please let us know, and we'll be glad to respond. And here's our address again, 540 East Morgan Street, Martinsville, Indiana, 46151 is the zip code. Our office phone number, area code 765-342-6027, and our website address, which has our radio sermons going back a number of years, and our bulletins with articles, good articles, and other information you can see there. And so here's that address, www.morganstreetchurchofchrist.org. Now, let's get into our study this morning as we're, every one of us, hopefully will ask ourselves, do I really believe God? Now, to start out with, I believe we would all say we've heard the parable of the two home builders, of course, there in the Sermon on the Mount in Matthew 7. But let's go to Luke chapter 6 and start with verse 46, Luke 6, 46. And why call ye me Lord, Lord, and do not the things which I say? Now, verse 47. Whosoever cometh to me and heareth my sayings and doeth them, I will show you to whom he is like. He is like a man which built a house and digged deep, laid the foundation on a rock. When the flood arose, the stream beat vehemently upon that house and could not shake it, for it was founded upon a rock. But he that heareth and doeth not is like a man that without a foundation built a house upon the earth, against which the stream did beat vehemently, and immediately it fell, and the ruin of that house was great. In Matthew's account in chapter 7, the word sand was used for, built his house upon the sand. Well, that's the same results as building upon the earth. So here is the point of the lesson. To build on the rock foundation is to build on the teachings of Christ. To build one's life on the foundation of Christ, in other words. But to build on the earth or sand foundation is to build one's life on the foundation of the world. That is, you may hear the word of God, but you're not doing it. And this is being under the control of whom? If you build your foundation, your house upon the foundation of the world, well, of course, Satan is the prince of this world. So that's the lesson of the parable. Now, what we're wanting to see this morning is this. Believing in God is not enough. We must do more than believe. Now, last Lord's Day in our sermon of twos there in the book of James, we noted James 2:19, "Thou believest that there is one God, thou doest well. The devils also believe and tremble." Certainly believing in God is not enough. In James 1:22, "Be doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving your own selves." We don't want to be deceived, do we? Certainly not. Now let's note two different examples of unbelief. We'll start with Moses. And this is Numbers 20:7-12. "And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, Take the rod, and gather thou the assembly together, thou and Aaron thy brother, and speak ye unto the rock before their eyes, and it shall give forth his water. And thou shalt bring forth to them water out of the rock, so thou shalt give the congregation and their beasts drink. And Moses took the rod before the Lord as he commanded him. And Moses and Aaron gathered the congregation together before the rock. And he said unto them, Hear now, ye rebels, must we fetch you out water of this rock? And Moses lifted up his hand, and with his rod he smote the rock twice. And the water came out abundantly, and the congregation drank, and their beast also. But notice the Lord's reply. And the Lord spake unto Moses and Aaron, Because ye believed me not to sanctify me in the eyes of the children of Israel, therefore ye shall not bring this congregation into the land which I have given them. And neither Moses nor Aaron entered into the promised land. Aaron died first, and then as Moses died having seen the promised land, from the mountain, then of course God buried Moses. But here's the point. Clearly, Moses was commanded to speak to the rock, verse 8. But Moses disobeyed God, verse 11. And God said unto Moses and Aaron, Because ye believed me not, verse 12. So we know Moses and Aaron believed in God. But what did God say to Moses? What does God say to us through his word when we fail to obey him? Ye believed me not. So what was the results of Moses' disobedience? He was not allowed to enter the promised land. And what about us? If we fail to obey God and just believe in God, we're not going to be in heaven for eternity. No, we'll be in hell for eternity. So that's something to get our attention, is it not? Romans 6:16, we need to look at this verse. Know ye not that to whom ye yield yourselves servants to obey, his servants ye are to whom ye obey. So what's the key word there? Obey, obviously. In Matthew 6:24, Jesus said, No man can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will hold to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and mammon. You can't do both. It's one or the other. Now, Here's another example. Captain Naaman, remember the leper? He was told by Elisha to dip in the Jordan River 7 times to cure his leprosy. But at first, what did he do? Well, he refused. In 2 Kings 5, 11 through 14, we notice, "But Naaman was wroth and went away and said, 'Behold, I thought.'" Well, that's what gets you in trouble. "He will surely come out to me and stand and call on the name of the Lord his God and strike his hand over the place and recover the leper. Are not Abner and Pharpar rivers of Damascus better than all the waters of Israel? May I not wash in them and be clean?" So he turned and went away in a rage. And his servants came near and spake unto him and said, "My father, if the prophet had bid thee to do some great thing, wouldst thou not have done it? How much rather then when he saith to thee, 'Wash and be clean'? Then went he down and dipped himself 7 times in Jordan, according to the saying of the man of God." Here's the results. "And his flesh came again like unto the flesh of a little child, and he was clean." So what should we learn? What God commands, we must obey, even though we may not understand all the ins and outs. As Naaman here, he couldn't figure out why not go to one of the closer rivers where he lived. Well, because God said to go and dip in the Jordan River 7 times. Not 6, 5, or whatever, but 7. And in the river that God designated, which was, of course, Jordan. Now, let's note this. God gives moral commands. We're not to be drunkards, fornicators, liars, and those sins that we know that God has forbidden. That's moral commands. Well, even atheists may not be drunkards. They may not be committing adultery and fornication. You see, they may actually be obeying moral commands and not, of course, giving God the glory for giving us these needed commands. But here's the other kind of command, and that is the commands which show who really believes God. You see, these are the commands that separate the ones who are just believing in God and those who really believe God. Like when we're to obey the gospel and how we're to worship God and how we're to live the Christian life. The organization of the church and the work of the church, these are doctrinal matters. They're not matters of opinion. And this is going to separate those, again, who only believe in God but are not following His will, and those who really believe God. Now, let's note, Jesus taught plainly on the subject of belief. As we see in John 10, 24 through 30, well, notice how Jesus replied to the Jews who were doubting His being the Christ. "Then came the Jews round about Him and said unto Him, 'How long dost thou make us to doubt? If thou be the Christ, tell us plainly.' Jesus answered them, 'I told you, and ye believe not. The works that I do in my Father's name, they bear witness of me, but ye believe not. Because ye are not of my sheep. As I said unto you, my sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me, and I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish, neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. My Father which gave them me is greater than all, and no man is able to pluck them out of my Father's hand. I and my Father are one.'" Well, notice the Jews' reaction, verse 31. "Then the Jews took up stones again to stone Him." Well, no one will have an excuse for doubting on the day of judgment. In Romans chapter 1, let's notice verses 20 through 22. For the invisible things of Him from the creation of the world are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even His eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse. Let's note that. They are without excuse. Because that when they knew God, glorified Him not as God, neither were thankful, but became vain in their imaginations, and their foolish heart was darkened, professing themselves to be wise, they became fools. Like those who advocate that the hypothesis of evolution is how things came about, such as life. Do away with God. You see, that's having one's imagination empty, and the heart is darkened. And yes, they may claim to be a scientist and have degrees and professing themselves to be wise, but what happened? They became fools, because God created all things in 6 literal days, not ages, 24-hour days. In other words, mind produced matter. Not the other way around, which is evolution, saying that matter produced mind. If you want to believe the nest produces the bird, what does that say? Well, we know the bird is the one that makes the nest. It's not the other way around. Well, here's another example of Jesus teaching plainly on unbelief. Luke 22, 66 through 70. And as soon as it was day, the elders of the people and the chief priests and the scribes came together and led them into their council, saying, Art thou the Christ? Tell us. And he said unto them, If I tell you, ye will not believe. And if I also ask you, ye will not answer me, nor let me go. Hereafter shall the Son of Man sit on the right hand of the power of God. Then said they all, Art thou then the Son of God? And he said unto them, Ye say that I am. Well, this was all the religious leaders needed to hear to justify taking Jesus before Pilate to be crucified. Verse 71, And they said, What need we any further witness? For we ourselves have heard of his own mouth. Now, hopefully, ye will not believe would not be said of us today. What did Jesus say about those who believe but do not obey? We need to note this. This is Luke 13, 23 through 28. Then said one unto him, Lord, are there few that be saved? And he said unto them, Strive to enter in at the strait gate, for many, I say unto you, will seek to enter in and shall not be able. When once the master of the house is risen up and has shut to the door, and ye begin to stand without and to knock at the door, saying, Lord, Lord, open unto us. And he shall answer and say unto you, I know ye not whence ye are. Then shall ye begin to say, We have eaten and drunk in thy presence, and thou hast taught in our streets. But he shall say, I tell you, I know ye not whence ye are. Depart from me, all ye workers of iniquity. There shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth when ye shall see Abraham and Isaac and Jacob and all the prophets in the kingdom of God, and you yourselves thrust out. Now that's serious, is it not? We don't want to hear the Lord speak such words to us. Well, notice in the parable of the two builders, Jesus said, He who hears and does is the wise builder. But he who hears and does not is foolish, in Matthew 7, 21 through 27, Luke 6, 46 through 49, we read earlier. Are we building our lives upon the foundation of the teachings of Christ, the doctrine of Christ? Now let's notice Paul's example of believing God. Acts 27, 25, wherefore, sirs, this is on the ship, be of good cheer, for I believe God, that it shall not be even as it was told me, that it shall be even as it was told me. Paul believed God. Didn't just believe in God. No, he believed what God said. And all were saved by remaining in the ship. That's a great lesson in salvation. Was only on the ship in a physical sense, but where's salvation for eternity? In the church that Jesus built, purchased it with his blood, the church of Christ. 2 Timothy 1:12, for the which cause I also suffer these things, nevertheless I am not persuaded. Paul is certain about this. Look here. For I know whom I have believed, and am persuaded that he is able to keep that which I have committed unto him against that day. Paul didn't have doubts, did he? Neither should we. Let's be sure we're not just believing in God, but believing God. Now here's some questions for all of us, myself included, to answer, to make the application of our study. Do I, Bob Hawkins, really believe the Bible is the inspired Word of God? And do I accept the law of Christ as my only authority in religion? That's something we need to answer honestly. Do I really believe Christ in Mark 16:16? Go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. He that believeth not shall be damned. Do I really believe what Jesus said in John 4:24? God is a spirit, and they that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. Does my attendance and faithfulness show that I really do believe God? Now, some are shut in and not able to get out. That's not what we're discussing here, taking care of a sick child. But when we're able and do not worship God as he has commanded us, and assemble with the saints to be edified together, then we're not really believing God. Here's another question. Do I really believe that Jesus commanded his followers to go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature? In Matthew 16:15, I quoted that with Mark 16:16 earlier. Am I willing to take advantage of opportunities to talk to my friends and neighbors? We're not to force the gospel on anyone, make a nuisance of ourselves, but look for opportunities to invite our friends and neighbors, to talk to them of the joy that we have. Do we really believe God? You see, this is a serious question. And what answer is my life saying to that question? Do I, Bob Hawkins, really believe God? And you're to do the same, are you not, to be honest, in our study here. What is my life saying about that question? Now, Christ died for us all. And is it asking too much from ourselves to accept God's word without question? We may not understand some things, but we need to accept the will of God. For my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, saith the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. Isaiah 55:8-9. Will I believe God today, accepting His will and trusting Him because He knows best? Why would I disagree with God? And so many are doing that. How sad and tragic it is. But we have an opportunity. The will is given to us by God. Free will to make our choices. And what is our choice saying about, do I really believe God? Have I obeyed the gospel? Have I heard the truth? That's how my faith is to come, Romans 10:17. Now, belief in Christ is essential. Except you believe that I am He, you shall die in your sins, John 8:24. I must repent. Get out of a sinful life. Turn away from that sin and go in a new direction. I'm changing my will to do the will of God. Luke 13:3-5, I tell you nay. Except ye repent, ye shall all likewise perish, like those from whom the tower fell upon, for example, was Jesus' illustration there. And then, after repenting, I'm ready to make the good confession unto salvation. This is stating, I believe that Jesus Christ is the only begotten Son of God. Yes, it's unto salvation, Romans 10:9-10, so I'm not with salvation yet. But here's the step that puts me into contact with the precious blood of Christ that washes away my sins. In Acts 22:16, Ananias said to Saul, why tarest thou? Arise and be baptized and wash away thy sins, calling upon the name of the Lord. And Saul at that time, later we know of course is Paul. He did what God commanded him to do. The human instrument here was Ananias. But Ananias was telling Paul what the will of God was for him to do, to contact the blood of Christ. How else can his sins be washed away? How else can our sins be washed away unless we're buried into the watery grave of baptism? And you'll want to study Romans 6:3-6. As we come up out of the watery grave of baptism, now to walk in newness of life, then what happens? The Lord adds us to His body, the true church, Acts 2:47, where we need to remain faithful. And we thank you so much for listening today.